No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I am Jill, and today is the 8th day of December. Welcome each and every single one of you. It is such an honor to be here reading the Word of God in chronological order to this beautiful community. I love being a part of this community. It is, it's a one of a kind. You all are exceptional. I say that because it's been so redemptive to be here and to actually have a safe place. I'm most proud of us all for that. Safe. This has been our word for the year, and maybe hold on to it in these last few days in this month together, and we'll reflect together on what this word has meant to us and what it has taught each of us, what we have learned. Maybe it has taught us nothing so far, but there are things that we need to learn before it's over with. So let's hold on to that. And let's jump into the book of Romans today. We're reading chapters 4 through 7, and this week we are reading the Evangelical Heritage Version, Romans chapter 4. What then will we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered according to the flesh? If indeed Abraham had been justified by works, he would have had a reason to boast, but not before God. For what does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, to a person who works, his pay is not counted as a gift, but as something owed. But to the person who does not work, but believes in the God who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited to him as righteousness. This is exactly what David says about the blessed state of the person to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. Now then, does this blessing apply only to the circumcised? Or also to the uncircumcised? To be sure, we maintain that faith was credited to Abraham as righteousness. So then, under what circumstances was it credited to him? Was he circumcised or uncircumcised at that time? He was not circumcised, but uncircumcised, and he received the mark of circumcision as the seal of the righteousness by faith that was already his while he was uncircumcised. So Abraham is the father of all the uncircumcised people who believe, so that righteousness would also be credited to them. He is also the father of the circumcised people who are not merely circumcised, but also walk in the footsteps of the faith our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. Indeed, the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not given to Abraham or his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness that is by faith. To be sure, if people are heirs by the law, faith is empty and the promise is nullified. For law brings wrath. Where there is no law, there is no transgression. For this reason, the promise is by faith, so that it may be according to grace and may be guaranteed to all of Abraham's descendants, not only to the one who is a descendant by law, but also to the one who has the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of God, Abraham believed him who makes the dead alive and calls non-existing things so that they exist. Hoping beyond what he could expect, he believed that he would become the father of many nations just as he was told. This is how many your descendants will be. He did not weaken in faith, even though he considered his own body as good as dead, because he was about 100 years old. And even though he considered Sarah's womb to be dead, he did not waver in unbelief with respect to God's promise, but he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. Now the statement, "it was credited to him," was not written for him alone, but also for us to whom it would be credited, namely, to us who believe in the one who raised our Lord Jesus from the dead. He was handed over to death because of our trespasses and was raised to life because of our justification. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice confidently on the basis of our hope for the glory of God. Not only this, but we also rejoice confidently in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces patient endurance, and patient endurance produces tested character, and tested character produces hope. And hope will not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For at the appointed time, while we were still helpless, Christ died for the ungodly. It is rare indeed that someone will die for a righteous person. Perhaps someone might actually go so far as to die for a person who has been good to him. But God shows his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Therefore, since we have now been justified by his blood, it is even more certain that we will be saved from God's wrath through him. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, it is even more certain that, since we have been reconciled, we will be saved by his life. And not only is this so, but we also go on rejoicing confidently in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received this reconciliation. So then, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, so also death spread to all people because all sinned. For even before the law was given, sin was in the world. Now, sin is not charged to one's account if there is no law. And yet death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those whose sin was not like the transgression of Adam, who is a pattern of the one who was to come. But the gracious gift is not like Adam's trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of this one man, it is even more certain that God's grace and the gift given by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflowed to the many. And the gift is not like the effect of the one man's sin, for the judgment that followed the one trespass resulted in a verdict of condemnation. But the gracious gift that followed many trespasses resulted in a verdict of justification. Indeed, if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through the one man, it is even more certain that those who receive the overflowing grace of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. So then, just as one trespass led to a verdict of condemnation for all people, so also one righteous verdict led to life-giving justification for all people. For just as through the disobedience of one man, the many became sinners, so also through the obedience of one man, the many will become righteous. The law came to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace overflowed much more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace would reign through righteousness, resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we keep on sinning so that grace may increase? Absolutely not. We died to sin. How can we go on living in it any longer? Or do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him by this baptism into his death, so that just as he was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too would also walk in a new life. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be united with him in the likeness of his resurrection. We know that our old self was crucified with him to make our sinful body powerless, so that we would not continue to serve sin. For the person who has died has been declared free from sin. And since we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that since Christ has been raised from the dead, he will never die again. Death no longer has control over him. For the death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, also consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its desires. Do not offer the members of your body to sin as tools of unrighteousness. Instead, offer yourselves to God as those who are alive from the dead, and offer the members of your body to God as tools of righteousness. Indeed, sin will not continue to control you because you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Should we continue to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Absolutely not. Do you not know that when you offer yourselves to obey someone as slaves, you are slaves of the one you are obeying, whether slaves of sin resulting in death or slaves of obedience resulting in righteousness? Thanks be to God that although you used to be slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to the pattern of the teaching into which you were placed. After you were set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in a human way because of the weakness of your flesh. Indeed, just as you offered your members as slaves to impurity and lawlessness, resulting in more lawlessness, so now offer your members in the same way as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free from righteousness. So what kind of fruit did you have then? They were things of which you are now ashamed. Yes, the final result of those things is death. But now, since you were set free from sin and have become slaves to God, you have your fruit, resulting in sanctification, and the final result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the undeserved gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Or don't you know, brothers, since I am speaking to those who know the law, that a law has jurisdiction over a person only as long as he lives? For example, a married woman is bound to her husband by law as long as he is alive, but if he dies, she is released from this law regarding her husband. So then, she will be labeled an adulteress if she is joined to another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from this law, and she is not an adulteress if she marries another man. in the same way, my brothers, you also were put to death in regard to the law by the body of Christ, so that you may be joined to another, to the one who was raised from the dead, in order that we might produce fruit for God. For when we were in the flesh, strong sinful desires stirred up by the law were at work in our members, with the result that we produced fruit that results in death. But now we have been released from the law by dying to what held us in its grip, so that we may serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the letter of the law. What will we say then? Is the law sin? Absolutely not. On the contrary, I would not have recognized sin except through the law. For example, I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." But sin, seizing the opportunity provided by this commandment, produced every kind of sinful desire in me. For apart from the law, sin is dead. Once I was alive without the law, but when this commandment came, sin came to life and I died. This commandment that was intended to result in life actually resulted in death for me. You see, sin, seizing the opportunity provided by this commandment, deceived me and put me to death through it. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, righteous, and good. Then did what is good become death to me? Absolutely not. But sin, so that it might be recognized as sin, brings about my death by this good thing, so that through this commandment, sin might prove itself to be totally sinful. Certainly we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. For I do not understand what I am doing, because I do not keep doing what I want. Instead, I do what I hate. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. But now it is no longer I who am doing it, but it is sin living in me. Indeed, I know that good does not live in me, that is, in my sinful flesh. The desire to do good is present with me, but I am not able to carry it out. So I fail to do the good I want to do. Instead, the evil I do not want to do, that is what I keep doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who am doing it, but it is sin living in me. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is present with me. I certainly delight in God's law according to my inner self, but I see a different law at work in my members, waging war against the law of my mind and taking me captive to the law of sin which is present in my members. What a miserable wretch I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my sinful flesh, I serve the law of sin. Okay, so over the weekend, we hit the book of Romans, and we're here. And it can be very heady. Paul is very smart. But what Paul is doing is ironing out some of the theological wrinkles that may have not come up yet, but are coming up. And what we're also seeing is really this evolution of the law, the Mosaic law, the laws that God gave Moses to give to the Israelites to live in covenant with God. This was to form that group of people that God was calling to be set apart, not superior, not a prestigious people, a peculiar people, but it would require something of them, and they were going to have to keep their part of their covenant that they agreed to enter with God. And they had a really hard time doing it, just like we do. But now, because of Jesus, all have been welcomed into the kingdom of God. There is no Jew, there is no Greek. There is no separation when we have the same God that we worship. We are all just going to kind of go about this a different way. And that's because we're all different. But because of the former law, these are the theological wrinkles that are being ironed out. And one of the main points that we have to catch in this theological ironing is Paul teaching the people, do not become so focused on the law, that you do not know the voice of God. It is not a new message. It is not a new message in the Bible. It is not a new message for humanity. It is not an irrelevant message then. It is not an irrelevant message now. May we not become so consumed with the law and holding people to the rules that we disregard the heart of man. This is what Jesus modeled. This is what Paul is teaching. Another foundationally important message that we hear from Paul is, just because grace has been given does not mean we can keep on sinning and grace covers it. And that is even too much for me to even try to pull apart. The point is, we have to become aware of what is sin, what is our sin, and then we have to be intentional to not sin. We don't keep on sinning when we come to Christ. We're not supposed to. The old is gone, the new is come, but the old has to go away. We have to be intentional. We have to be aware. We have to be mindful of what our own sin. We get too consumed in everybody else's that we forget, oh, wait a minute. We got some stuff to clean up our own self. Jesus called that, get the log out of your own eye before you try to remove the speck from your brother's. That's perspective. The other part to that sin is, don't do it in hiding to get away with it. Don't say that you don't do it and just do it in private. Do it alone. Just don't do it. That's the goal. The goal is to not sin. Not keep it in hiding, not speak one thing and do another thing, and to not be so consumed with everybody else that you don't have time to work on yourself. The point is to not sin. And when we do, we're hypocrites. The world will want nothing to do with this Jesus that we serve if we continue in our sinful nature and hold everybody else to perfection and justify or hide our very own. It's like so complicated and so simple at the same time. We have to throw off our own sin. Let's catch this very important point from Paul today. Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your forgiveness. But God, may we be mindful. May we be so aware in our own lives that we catch it in our own actions, in our own thoughts, in our own words, by the power of the Holy Spirit that comes to convict our hearts, offend our mind, to reveal our hearts so that we may not sin against you anymore. We cannot be mad at people that call us out if we're going to continue in our sinful ways and excuse it. We are then hypocrites. God, I pray that we would consider the weight of this responsibility that we all carry with every word, every thought, every deed, every action that is ours to write. May we walk in righteousness. I pray this all in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Daily Audio Bible, that is home base, that is the website, that is the free app. It's Christmas time. You can get your Christmas box now while supplies last. I also wanted to remind us the breathing prayer. It was out of stock for a while. It is back in stock. It's going to be in stock for a little while. If you missed your opportunity to get it, if you got it and you're like, doggone it, that would have made a great gift. They're back in stock and you can get them. I also want to mention this because it's so beautiful. Our son Maxwell, some of you remember him from Daily Audio Bible Kids. He's a musician and he is quite brilliant, to be honest. Not just saying that because I'm mom. He's quite brilliant. He, several years ago, created Christmas Time. And that is available to purchase through a download digitally, but it's also on vinyl. That is a beautiful Christmas album that makes a beautiful gift. That is also available. There's a lot more available in the store, the music that you listen to, just lots. They make great gifts. Get a journal, give it to someone, invite them to go through the Bible next year together with you. And these journals are great for writing things down so you don't forget. And what we've learned in therapy is there's something more powerful, more effective about your handwriting. Gliding over the paper connects parts of your brain to emotions and feelings and memory. And so this journal has been created for us to go through the Bible. Lots of different things for you to check out. That's available at the store. If you would like to partner with us, thank you so much to each and every one of you. We could not do this without you. If you're giving by mail, DAB PO Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174, or if you're giving by the app, hit the give icon up at the top right-hand corner, and lastly, look for give on the website. If you need prayer, if you'd like to pray for someone that's previously called in, several different ways for you to do so, 800-583-2164. That is the line for chronological, or you can utilize the app. Hit the red circle button up at the top midsection. You have 2 minutes on the prayer line when you are finished. Hit submit, turn that wheel over to chronological, and it will get to the right place. Lots of Christmas things going on around here. It is Christmas time. You can call in your virtual Christmas greeting card that will make up the Christmas, what is it called? The Daily Audio Bible Christmas, Virtual Christmas? I don't know. I gotta find out what the name is. This is the first time that you can call here at Chronological. It will all go to the same place. Please call one time, and if you have a prayer or a prayer request, please make those separate calls. That is your exclusion to the rule of calling one time. You may call twice, keep those separate. And the same rules apply. 2 minutes, one call, one place. And we can't wait to listen and hear all of you. That's it for me today. I'm Jill. We'll turn the page. Continue in the book of Romans together tomorrow. I love you all. Until then, love one another.
Wow. Well, Jill, oh, the love assignment is what I'll call it. And on December 2nd, that's what you gave us. And I actually took your assignment and I paid it forward and I sent it to a handful of people. This is New Envisioned Growth out of New York. And this assignment, me and a handful of people discovered that we have a lot of work to do, a lot of peeling and a lot of healing. Unlike a lot of my friends, I didn't grow up with the hard times that they did. In fact, I grew up surrounded and filled with love. In fact, I'm blessed. My parents still love on me today, but to no fault of their own, they did not give me the balance. So I didn't know until I got older how cruel the world can really be and how mean people can be and toxic and abusive and manipulative. I didn't know that. So I spent a lot of my years being used and not knowing it. And now at this big old age that I am, I'm just now discovering how to love myself for the first time and understanding that if I truly loved myself before, I would have never have let people do to me what they did to me. But thank God that I have a father that stands outside of time and is making up and healing me each and every day. And he gave the ultimate love by giving his only begotten son. So I'm grateful for you, for your obedience, for your transparency. And let's just all heal together one day at a time. And we're not where we used to be. We're getting better. I know I am each day. Thank you, Jill.
Hello, this is Daughter of the Silversmith. I speak peace and mercy over all of you. And I want to pray for the lady that her grandchild is in the womb right now. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless that child, you'll watch over that child, and that you'll keep that child safe in the womb and even outside the womb. Family, I want you to pray for my niece. She lost her 2-year-old son suddenly. And just one day he was there, one day he was gone. And my friend Solomon, he lost his 1-month-old child. Just came home and found his child not with him anymore. So, let's all be praying for him. Love you all.